Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/coldslither. Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Once again, that's audibletrial.com/coldslither.
The following is a presentation of the Cold Slither Podcast Network.
And welcome to another exciting episode of the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles. I am not your host, Tim D-O-double-G. I am the man behind the sound effects at Agent_7D on Twitter. And tonight, this is a tag team edition of the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles. I am co-hosting tonight with @RoddyCat on Twitter.
Yeah, come on, everybody. They won't go rails on this.
I love it.
More rails.
Yeah, we are absolutely, you know, we're absolutely going off track, off kilter, you know, trying to figure out how we're going to take care of this.
Yep. Tim's not here. Dirt's not here. We're going to, you know, feed her on the couch. The slushy machine's going to be empty. The beer's going to be gone. Not going to anybody's bedroom because that's new. Mm-mm. You don't do that.
I honestly couldn't even tell you what the heck we're supposed to be plugging right now. Let's see. Let's see if we can't make sure that we get at least some of the important plugs in.
Yeah.
All right. All right. I'm literally listening to what the hell we talk about.
Hit the top of the dock. That'll help you out.
All right. Let's see. Top of the list. All right. So our other co-host is @PCN_dirt on Twitter, and he is at a family function. Make sure to hit up his website, popculturenetwork.com. Make sure to hit up Dirt's Vine reviews. You can find him on Twitter @PCN_dirt and @PulpCultureNet. You can find our regular lead host, at least in terms of reading the plugs, @TimDOGG98 on Twitter and @TheClickNation. Oh, I love it. I'm forgetting all the dings because I'm the one doing the reading.
I love it. I got you.
I love it. @RoddyCat can also be found @NewsNerdsNeed on Twitter. Thank you. Our podcast can be found on the ColdSlitherPodcast.com, the Cold Slither Podcast Network, and ComicRelated.com. There you go. We got it stereo.
Yeah.
And am I forgetting another plug here?
Nope. You got Dirt. You got Tim. You got me. Comic Related. Comic Book. ColdSlither.com. Oh, Redbubble.com. If you go to the Cold Slither podcast site, there should be a link on there for the Redbubble site. Get some swag. You know, got Comic Book Chronicle stuff. You got Good and Terrible stuff. You got all that kind of good stuff. Go support us. Help us out.
There you go. All righty. So, we're getting into spring/summer travel season, so that's one reason why Tim's not here. He's taking some time off, some well-deserved time off.
Yeah, he might be in Abu Dhabi. We don't know. And matter of fact, we could tell you that because y'all know Tim balls. So, he's out with the missus. You know, we got ditched. This is our show. He can't say anything.
There you go. Love it, love it, love it. Who so said, you know, open was easy, right?
Exactly. You know what? What you do?
What's
we're
that?
Not even going to talk about comic books tonight. We're just going to talk about Low End Theory versus Midnight Marauders.
Oh!
Boom.
Word except, up. Oh, we're taking it old school tonight.
There you go. Except Tim would kill us. So, we're not. It was like, oh my goodness. Like, I'm taking everything away from these fools. Let's just.
That's funny. That is funny. We're taking it back, baby. We're taking it way back. You know what? This makes me regret, because this is something that I definitely intend to do, is try to figure out how to integrate actual, you know, soundboard sound effects into this. And it'd be awesome to just drop a couple of beats and a couple of samples from some old school beats, you know?
I know, right? Maybe Classical Duos are solid on the audio side and drop something in right about here.
There you go.
So, and I won't know whether he did that unless I listen to the audio. But anyway.
Well, I'm not going to count on it. Let's jump into the cinematic news.
Let's
do it. We've got plenty to talk about. There is, there have been a bunch of announcements based on upfronts for TV, at least this week. But we'll get into that. The first bit of news is that Rosario Dawson is returning for Daredevil Season 2. That means more Night Nurse.
Yes, sir.
And apparently she may be part of the connective tissue between the Daredevil show and other Marvel Netflix shows.
Yeah, apparently she's going to appear, if I spelled that right, appear in some of the other shows, which kind of curious as how that's going to go. And kind of, I guess it might kind of make sense. Daredevil being a show that started it all off, and then just have something else that ties them all in until they get to the Defenders.
Exactly. And it's a nice, you know, and it almost makes sense. These are all street level heroes who are more likely than not to get hurt and need to get patched up. And where do they go? Exactly. The nurse that they have in common.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I know, were you watching Constantine, Roddy?
Yes.
You can probably go into this next. You can go into this next sad bit of news.
Okay. Yep. Constantine officially canceled by NBC. There is a possibility that it could get picked up on someplace else, like one of the other channels, or I don't know, Hulu or something. We don't know. Mm-hmm. But as of this moment, Constantine has been canceled. No. And it's kind of a shame, because it was a solid show. It wasn't like the greatest show, mm-hmm. but it was actually pretty solid. And the time slot and probably being on NBC may or may not have done it any favors. As a matter of fact, I remember right after the season ended, they were thinking about just moving the time up about an hour. In fact, I remember them saying it because we talked about it. And then that's when they started going on, well, it may be not still be on, and then that's the other, and all this other jockeying that they were doing. And so, but yeah. But it was, like I said, it was a solid show, and I kind of hate that if it does go, then it is indeed gone.
It's kind of tough that, you know, you mentioned it earlier, that because the show was on NBC, it's kind of out there on an island.
Right.
And I think that's definitely got to play a role in, you know, how it was received and mm-hmm. how it was treated by just, you know, by the genre, or at least the viewing public in general.
Right. Plus, it was on, like I said, it was on Friday night. It was at 10 o'clock. People are out or probably watching other stuff, but they were mm-hmm. out or whatever. It was not the greatest time slot in the world. But, you know, you have to do what you got.
So. Gotcha. So playing right into that. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was about to say, I was about to go into that, actually. After all that news came out, Stephen Amell of Arrow fame pitches an Arrow crossover, hashtag Save Constantine. So basically what he was saying was, you know, it's like, hey, you know, keep the show on, and I'll, you know, you'd be more than glad to do a walk-on or, you know, a crossover thing, which would be the tie-in to the rest of the shows, minus Gotham. You know, that would have probably given a slight boost. Now, granted, it's Constantine with the more mystical side of the DCU, which has always kind of been off on its own.
Right.
You know, and for the most part. But either way, it would have still been good to see somebody else from one of the other shows, you know, kind of come pop through, or vice versa, actually.
Gotcha.
You know, because who's to say that he could have, you know, just like, hey, put that guy that plays Constantine on Arrow or Flash, you know, and connect the dots.
I mean, it would have been something, I think. This would have played, obviously, a bit better had it been a CW show, and they would have been able to coordinate it a bit more.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to see an angsty, well, he kind of already was, but I don't know if I would want to see just a
angsty Constantine.
That emo a Constantine. Like, he's already has his own issues from what I know of him in the books, and that's very little. So,
gotcha.
It is what it is.
All right. So, in our next bit of TV news, Fox orders a Lucifer TV series. Now, I am totally lost as to how this is really, you know, something we should be reporting on, because, well, you know, we are God-fearing people, aren't we? That was a joke, people. The views expressed by Agent underscore 70 do not are not the sole views of this show. Do not reflect the views of the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles.
Exactly. Well, so it is comic book related because Lucifer is basically comes from the Sandman comics, which was Neil Gaiman's comic back in the day, back in '89. So it's legit. You know, and at this point, they're pulling all kind of, you know, TV shows and movies to come out. So who knows? We could get a, I don't know. I can't think of anybody else that would we could get a Danny the Street show for one thing. I don't know.
Ambush Bug.
There you go. You know what? They probably would do that.
All right. Yep. So what do we have next in the news?
Let's see. No, skip that one. Okay. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 feature cameo from old TMNT actress. So there was a shot from the, looks like there was a shot from the set. And apparently Judith Hogue, who played the original April O'Neil, was on the set and is going to be in the movie in some capacity that I don't think we know about.
Enough to get us to watch the new sequel to the latest Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Is it? I didn't watch the first one. So
same here. Same here. And I know I've mentioned it on the show earlier. The sequel to this latest installment of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is filming in Lower Manhattan as we speak. Mm-hmm. And do you think I tried to get on set? No.
Yeah.
I don't even want to be caught near it. I don't want to be an extra.
You don't want that one on your sad card, so yeah.
Nope.
come down to Atlanta when they start doing start doing Secret Wars.
Oh yeah, they're there now. You better get on there.
I know. Well, I'm a couple hours away, so that would be a trip. Don't think I wouldn't do it, but
that's right.
So
that's right. All right, so we can skip this one, but the next one is something I wanted to talk about, and I did not watch this. Right, so apparently. A trailer was released for the new Gem and the Holograms live-action movie.
Yeah, I watched it, and
there's a lot of outrage on all social media, across every social media platform. Yes. I even saw it in a Facebook feed. So you know, it's all the way across the street. You know, it crosses all borders. If it's my freaking Facebook feed where all my friends of a certain vintage are all still, posting things, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, like I watched it and it was like, and I fully admit to the fact that back in the day, I watched Gem and Holograms. I watched a lot of stupid TV shows. So that's anything spectacular.
But. Listen, we host a show called Comic Book Chronicles.
Exactly.
At some point, you know, and we're of a certain vintage. You got to love how I put that, right?
There you go. I like that. Appreciate it.
You know, we were exposed to this. I know I watched this show here and there because my sister was a huge fan.
Right.
And, you know, I couldn't help but hear at least some of the music. I wasn't familiar with all the characters. I think I knew the theme song. You can't help but know the theme song, right?
Exactly.
But, you know, like there was a look, and I know from some of the screen caps that I saw, I wasn't so keen on the look, and I know that some people really had strong things to say about that and the music. What did you think of those two things?
I would definitely say that because now the music part, it is what it is because, you know, you could put almost anything. If they had started rapping, then there would be a really, really major problem for me on that one, which I know that was never going to happen. That would have probably been the thing. I was like, you know what? I would probably watch that just for that madness. But
that's funny.
I thought of that. Yeah, it just seemed like I don't even want to say Joseph and the Pussycats because that was actually a fairly decent movie for not being that great.
I did not watch that, so I can't really compare the two.
But there is a lot of people right now like, who? What are you even talking about right now? So they made a Joseph and the Pussycats movie, Archie Comics characters, and it was. Like, I saw a lot of similarity in just Gem and the Hologram.
Was Rosario Dawson in that movie?
She was.
Wow.
She was a pretty big draw to watch that movie, personally. But,
Or at least for classic materia.
Yeah, yeah. And Rachel Lee, Rachel Lee Cook, if I'm not... Rachel Lee
Cook. Right. I think I remember that name.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So
but yeah, it was... You know what? Watch it.
I'll do that.
I can almost guarantee you'll be like... like they shoehorn in the Showtime Synergy line, but nothing else. Like, you don't really see any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So they just made it like, hey, here's you. You're the child. You don't want to be on stage, so we're just going to make you over and then make you famous. And then, you know, hey, drama with the band. You have a falling out and y'all get back together type of thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Yeah, so it's one of those movies, which you kind of expected it to be anyway. You didn't see any Misfits or anything.
Really?
Like, I think Rio showed up or something.
That's disappointing.
Yeah.
That's disappointing.
So, all right, we have given it way too much more the time than it needed.
Tell me about this. Is this true, this next news story, while I pull it up?
Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. spinoff, not dead. Yes. Well, from what I've read of it, because they came out last week saying that, hey, Agent Carter's been renewed. You know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. got a new thing. And they also was contemplating, you know, a show with Hunter and Michael Martin Hunter.
Right.
So they're saying now, we're probably not going to do that.
I mean, what I had read is that it was mostly dead because it's really these two characters that contributed to kind of a resurgence of good character arcs on the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show.
And I think we said that last week, which was for the most part true.
Right.
I mean, the show was, I personally think that the show was still good regardless, but having her on the show, you know, as Mockingbird has elevated it, you know, and sure. Plus there's some points that have been going around have been a lot better.
Right. Do you want to take a minute to talk about this week's episodes of Marvel and DC TV?
I haven't watched any of them yet because I've been busy at work. So
and you haven't watched Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
No, and I almost got spoiled on it. Because
I apologize.
No. Well, it wasn't just you. It was like, you know, people doing the live tweeting and whatnot. And I should have muted the people that I had at the time.
Or just stayed off social media.
Well, I wasn't on, but I have notifications up for you know, for certain people at and I was like, okay, I should have turned all that off because sure enough, some of them were like, ping. I was like, all right, that was
all right. Well, you know what? It sounds like I may have to do a Treasury edition with some folks out there. You know, if not Tim or you, once you finally get to watching these.
I will probably have watched them by. As a matter of fact, I'll probably watch them later on. So definitely by tomorrow, I will have watched it. Uh oh, wait.
Oh,
what?
Ladies and gentlemen, random appearance by PCN _ Dirt.
What?
Coming from Mr. Jarwin in the musical realm.
Hey, you guys missed one heck of a musical. What can I tell you? When those fourth and fifth graders belted out "Be Our Guest," it felt like I was right there.
Be our guest.
You were like, don't mind if I do. Service
to the test. I don't remember any of the words.
You're doing better than we're at.
Yeah, actually, you did pretty good there. You just kept going.
Yeah, I don't remember any of the words after that.
Yeah, we don't want to get this off of YouTube, you know.
That's funny.
So what are we talking about?
We're in the middle of cinematic news.
Ah.
And we had paused to discuss if either of us had watched Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the season finale this week, or what is it, the penultimate shows for Arrow and Flash?
Mm-hmm.
So
I haven't seen any of them, but I can tell you that my boss at work was freaking out over Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
It was good.
That was good. Consistent.
It was good. I was just saying that either we wait to talk about it next week or we'll do a Treasury edition to just talk specifically about these shows for the season.
Yeah, I'm sure you got enough to say that you could do a Treasury on those.
Yeah.
I have a feeling I probably will, just based on what I've seen. So, you know, so we can go ahead and we can out for that one.
Yeah, that sounds good. Sounds good.
I will go ahead and tell you last week that the season finale for Gotham was what the hell?
No kidding.
Is that a good one or a bad what the hell?
Both.
Wow.
Yeah, because let's just say, with everything that has been going on, if you had seen at least one episode of the show in mid-stride and what they've been doing, it's more of that. And then we see, you know, at least one or two loose ends just tie up for, you know, in a real unspectacular fashion. So it was crazy. But it's still kind of a little over the top, too. That's why I'm still watching it. So that's my...
Well, I was about to say, spoiler alert. The one thing I did hear about the show, and I stopped watching a long time ago, is that they revealed the existence, or at least the pre-existence, of the Batcave.
Yes. Yes. I'm sitting there, because I was sitting there watching the episode, and I was like, they are really not going to wait. Yes, they did. Like,
all right. So, I heard something. I don't know if this is true or not, so maybe can confirm or deny it. But did they do something where the murder of the Waynes was some sort of corporate conspiracy and not just a
random killing?
Yeah, that is the that's what they're going with right now. Yes.
Oh, so stupid.
Mm. Yeah, it was. And well, I mean, let's be realistic. Even in the beginning of the show, because there's been a couple of plot points during the course of the season that's been kind of crazy. Like, one, Selina Kyle was there at the murder. She saw it. Mm-hmm. Now, the spoiler for something that was way back, you know, for 20 episodes ago. You know, she was there, and then she was in witness protection, you know, with Bruce in the house, and they had their little bonding moments or lack thereof. And then she comes around and says, "No, I didn't see it. No, I don't know what you're talking about, kid." Which, you know, she's been prone to lie before anyway during the course of the season, so it could be an elaborate ruse, but we saw her there, mm-hmm. you know. So it's just been just one craziness after the other.
Right. Well, you know, maybe I'll catch up when it hits Netflix or something. We'll see.
Sure.
We'll see.
Dirt, have you seen Jim or the Holograms trailer or Constantine?
I did see the Jim and the Holograms trailer.
What'd you think about it? We've given this so much time on the show.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it. We already gave it a lot of time.
Yeah, that's what we had just finished talking about.
Okay, here's the thing. When I saw it and it started, the first thing that came to my mind is when, was it collegehumor.com did that Dora the Explorer movie parody trailer?
Right.
That was the first thing I thought of when I started watching that Jim and the Holograms. I was like, this is it. Like, I thought it was a joke that this was going to be the thing. And it turned out that was the legitimate trailer.
Wow.
I grew up in that era, but Jim was for girls, and I'm a dude, so I didn't really watch the show.
Right, unless you had like a younger sister or something like me. Like, I happened to catch at least the opening, so I knew the theme song, but I never really sat through an episode.
I had
but...
a young cousin, and she was into the show, and so I remember seeing it once or twice at her house, and she had all the toys.
Hmm.
So I remember they had a keytar that would like flip open playset that became like the stage that they would perform on. But that's really my memories of Jim and the Holograms. Mm-hmm. And I mean, quite frankly, I saw that trailer. I thought it was a joke. It was legit. I just kind of shook my head and moved on.
Wow.
I don't know. It's like Josie and the Pussycats. I don't know.
That's exactly what Roddy said.
I brought that up earlier.
Yeah. That's exactly what Roddy said.
I don't know that I will ever need to see the movie.
That's funny.
Although I do have a daughter. It depends on how the movie turns out, though, because a lot of times with those things, they do make them for, like, creepy 40-year-old dudes and not so much for teenage girls. So right. We'll have to kind of see how it is before I decide whether or not she's going to see it.
Yeah. Hey, look, I have no need to defend this, but look, if it's 7 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday morning and you're a kid and robotics and Bigfoot was not on... Or you didn't matter what was on until the main stuff comes on, you're going to watch what's there. At least I did, so.
Well, yeah, but we had multiple channels. I mean, it's not like you got one channel.
Well,
I've been known to watch the USA Farm Report waiting for the good cartoons to come on.
Yeah, but back in the day, especially if you didn't have cable, there wasn't much to choose from.
Oh, I never had cable growing up, so.
Yeah.
You'd watch PBS before you watched Jim and the Holograms.
That's funny.
But, yeah, that's a whole other podcast right there.
Exactly. And now, remember, all hate mail to dirt@podcast.com.
I already did the views expressed herein by Agent_70 are not the views of the Click Nation's Comic Chronicle.
Exactly. We got legal on it. So
oh, my goodness.
Probably hear a little bit of pushback at some point. But
that's fine. That means we're doing something. So here we go. Where are we at now? Oh,
Fox.
Fox Miss, New Mutants, X-Men spinoff. The Fault in Our Stars, Helmer, Josh Boone to direct. So I have not seen The Fault in Our Stars. I don't know who or how he is, but we're getting New Mutant people.
Yeah.
I don't know how to feel about that.
Yeah, I'm lost, in terms of, you know, what to think because... It's still Fox. They're still holding, you know, onto the X-Men properties, you know, with their death grip. yeah. because they want to, you know, keep, you know, making some money. You know, is I, you know, we out, you know, as fans of the Merry Mutants of the Marvel Universe, it's so difficult to see, you know, to hear news that should be good news and just feel either indifferent or just, you know, not good about it.
Yeah, I agreed. And yeah, I was about to say, I'm kind of surprised at the restraint from Fox, but then again, they did not have the tie-ins, you know, that they could glom off of right. back in the day when they were just doing, you know, Fantastic Four and yeah, Fantastic Four and X-Men movies, because they no one was really thinking about just putting a whole bunch of stuff together and making a universe out of the what they had until right. now. So I guess it was probably a matter of time. They'll probably do X-Force. No, they did say they were going to do X-Force, or there was a potential X-Force movie. So who knows? Maybe they'll bring back Generation X or whatever that dumb show was in the 90s. Which that would don't do it, please don't do it, Fox. That'd be.
But it's too late now. You know they're working on it.
I know that'd be a terrible idea.
Did either of you see the? Either of you see the trailer for the Marvel Phase 4 movies?
What?
No. War Thunder, Thunder War, and the Jeffersons, and all of that.
I must have missed that.
I'll tweet that link out. Let me see.
Lord.
Okay, the Jeffersons are part of. Yeah, Jefferson's a part of the Marvel canon. I can't wait for that book.
That's funny. You know.
Which is actually a weird tie, because Billy Dee Williams was on an episode of the Jeffersons at some point.
Oh, no.
Right here, I found it. Here we go. I can do it in the chat, too, I guess. If I can find it. Mm-hmm. Wait, that's not it.
Mercy.
Is that it? Oh, wow, we got comments from somebody in... People can post comments. Did you know that?
Yes, we can. Yeah.
I just click this thing, and there's, like, comments from people that watch the show.
Where?
Over in the Hangout Toolbox, there's, like, a little word balloon thing, and you click the little add button, and all these comments just popped up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wait, you're talking about the comment tracker? Because I don't see any in there.
Yeah. I typed something, I hit add, and then all this stuff popped up.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, here's the group chat. I can put it in there.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, make sure you guys watch that later. Don't watch it now, though.
We're no, no, no.
Nobody else can see it.
I know. Well, unless we put the YouTube thing on, which they still wouldn't be able to hear it, so it doesn't matter. So let's move on.
Move on. That's funny.
Selma's Ava DuVernay. I'm sorry if I pronounced that wrong. Yeah, that wrong. Is being looked at to direct a Marvel movie. People are speculating Black Panther, and I say the yes.
That works.
Yeah.
That works.
Now, granted, I haven't seen Selma, but I hear the critical buzz, and I'm all for anybody who's ever going to do the Black Panther movie and do it justice. I'm on board with.
It's fine by me. As long as they get the movie made and it's a director of some talent.
Yeah.
I don't need, you know, we don't necessarily need a director of some repute, because listen, who thought the Russo brothers were going to do that good a job?
Yeah, really.
You know, we just need, you know, we need talented people making these Marvel movies. We need to keep that going.
Mm-hmm.
So the next bit of news that we have, I was literally just watching this on mute. So a Supergirl trailer was officially released online. This is the TV show that is going to be on CBS in the fall. Is that right?
That's right. Well, wait. Yes, November. That's right. And Mondays.
Yes, in the fall, late fall, apparently in November. Mm-hmm. But I'm kind of fast forwarding through this YouTube clip. You guys, did you guys watch this all the way through? What did you think?
Yes.
No.
I
let me phrase that. I did see a clip or a small clip of it. Somebody did a GIF.
Yeah, this is like 6 minutes worth. Holy cow!
Yeah, yeah, it's a pretty long thing that gives you actually. I think most of the first, like, I don't know if it's a 90-minute or a 2-hour. You know, pilot intro episode, but it pretty much gives you the whole thing in a condensed form. But I'd say I'm actually looking forward to it, despite the fact that it has Calista Flockhart in it.
Calista Flockhart's in this?
She plays, I think she's Cat Grant, isn't she?
That is actually true, yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Come on, you don't want your little Ellie McBeal in your Supergirl?
it's kind of an odd way to phrase that, actually.
Comic Book Chronicles After Dark.
Remember, all hate mail to dirt at
popcorn. No, you can send that one to me. Runacat at gmail.com. I don't care.
You just want the photoshops of...
Oh, no! We're gone. We've completely gone off the rails now. That is funny.
Shout out to Matt Wang, who I would love it if we got the priest... they go off of the priest stuff. Even if he wrote it, even better. I don't even know what he's doing right about now. I know he's still around, I think. But
we're back to the Black Panther movie.
Yeah, Wang just. I mean, there's really not much to say. You know, the trailer for Supergirl is out there. Looks halfway decent. You know.
I'm definitely looking forward to it a lot more now that I've seen this than I have been in the past.
And first, you know, CBS, welcome home. You know, it's ought to be interesting.
All right.
Yeah, it looks like they're going through the whole, like, half the show on this.
Yeah, it's like 6 minutes long. I'm like, my God, that's a long preview. Yeah, like,
that was just a drawn-out conversation going on there. But anyway.
Yeah. I just, you know me, I fast-forwarded straight to the costume. I just wanted to say. I know I'd seen images, still images.
Yeah, they had already been close to that, yeah.
Like, all right, so.
Stepping in the rain, what is going on? Oh, anyway, moving right along.
Stop watching YouTube videos.
I know, right? Because we don't get easily distracted on the show.
Of course not. It's funny. All righty. So Kevin Feige promises that the Marvel Cinematic Universe will never have a dark turn. So apparently he was asked in interviews in the wake of the release of Avengers Age of Ultron whether or not the Marvel Cinematic U will ever have a dark turn to its mood and its atmosphere. And I guess it will never have a real super dark turn, although a lot of people... sense that Age of Ultron was at least, you know, a slight shift.
It was supposed to be, and keep it on mind, the parent company is Disney's. They have their share of dark stuff on there, you know, here and there, and that doesn't mean that Marvel doesn't have leeway to do what they want to do, and I don't think they want to kind of make it like real dark, but just know you got all of that going into it. You know, I don't think it was going to go too terribly dark.
So the cinematic universe can never have anything dark, but the TV shows can, because Daredevil is sure not a happy, fluffy show.
And Daredevil is also on Netflix, which they can get away with a little bit better. So yeah,
I think that's the key, is that, you know, there's a specific audience, whereas it's more geared towards the general audience in the movies.
DC will do fluffy TV shows with Flash and Supergirl and dark movies, and Marvel will do these fluffy movies and dark Netflix TV shows.
Yeah, bizarre worlds. That's how TV and movies always been with stuff like that. Well, not always, but it's been like that for a while, though.
Right. And I was about to say, I mean, listen, it's not the first time, it's not the only time. I was thinking of the whole Bizarro Worlds thing when I was looking at Convergence and comparing it to Secret Wars this week, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah. So, yeah. So where are we now? I had something else on that, but it doesn't really matter right now.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So we'll just start blowing through some of the stuff. There's not much left for cinematic anyway. Marina Baccarin becomes season regular on Gotham. Yay.
Okay. Yay.
You know, I don't know. We talked earlier about that. I don't know. We know where that show's gone full steam ahead, and it's crazy. Oh, I'm going to go ahead and spoil this. I don't know whether you're going to watch it or not, because also in the revealing of the Batcave, which we had already been seeing for the last couple of episodes, we pretty much see Edward Nygma pretty much go... Joker. I'm
putting on a full Riddler.
Yeah.
Actually, if you had Joker, that'd be a lot more interesting, right?
Well, I mean, he did show up. There was an episode where they have, you know, someone that could potentially, who's going to show up again in season two, as the Joker. So they've already laid that groundwork. But yeah, I think he's almost pretty much, there's only one more thing that needs to happen, but he's pretty much full on Riddler right now. And that was a crazy scene right there, if anybody had seen it. Like, they just tossed that in there. It was weird. But anyway. TNT Titans to remain very true to the groundbreaking, air quotes, source material. So that's,
listen, I'll believe it when I see it. So exactly. I definitely have I don't even want to say cautious optimism. I just want
to say it.
Something mildly good.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of worried that it's on TNT, but that you shouldn't really, you know, let that be a determining factor. And I'm only saying that because of what kind of budget do they have?
Right.
I'm completely lost on what we're talking about.
Teen Titans show on TNT, which, man, that rolled off the tongue.
When did they announce that?
This was a while ago. We talked about it, yeah.
Wow. I completely biffed on that one.
You may not have been on the show when we talked about it, but yeah. But I know we talked about
it. Show without me?
Oh, those
family tornado.
Oh, was that the tornado night? Okay.
It might have been. Yeah, it was one of those nights.
At least I have a good excuse.
There you go. And last on our list of cinematic and TV news, DC's Legends of Tomorrow on the CW. First images and synopsis has been released, and that reveals, ding, 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 Hawkgirl, Rip Hunter, and White Canary?
Yep.
Okay.
As well, actually, part wait, of the, it's the same, members? Yeah, if it's the same picture, it's pretty much got all of them with the exception of, I think there's somebody that wasn't in this picture, because they have, you know, Brandon Rouse, Adam, and they got Captain Cold and Heatwave, and, you know, a Ronnie-less, well, we have, oh, shoot, I can't remember his name now, Professor Ooh. Stein.
Oh, okay. I see you. I see him.
Yeah, and we have the like you said, Hulk girl. So,
oh, interesting. It's an interesting image. I hadn't seen it until just now.
Mm-hmm. So that's going to be weird trying to figure out. It's like, hey, wait a minute. At least one of these people are not even supposed to be here. So how's that going to be? Which, now that I think about it, I think I know how that's going to work out. And okay. I got a feeling there's probably going to be some time travel involved, because there is a time travel person on the show.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, Rip Hunter is a time travel guy.
Yep. Oh, boy.
So that seemed like that might be the case.
Booster Gold's son, I think?
Is that what he was in the show? I don't remember, because all that stuff is crazy.
Yeah, well, in at least one of the timelines somewhere.
Gotcha. Oh,
yeah. All right, well, you guys can watch that.
Oh, come on. You can't say that you're not the least bit curious about what that's going to be.
Maybe.
There are a lot of shows.
Yes.
At this point, they almost have a network going on, which, you know, better than all the reality TV show that we've been putting up with for the last 10, 20
years. Yeah, I agree with that.
Definitely rather have a glut of these than have more Survivor, Bachelor, the cooking legends of Bachelorette.
Yeah, Weight Loss and whatever. All sorts of insanity.
Right. Yeah. So, but we are going to hit a tipping point very soon with this stuff, I have a feeling.
Hmm. Well, I mean, pretty soon they're going to be, like, just pulling up the most random things that they can possibly find to put a license on. You're going to have Impossible Man and Stilt Man Hour, you know, something.
Ooh, they can bring back Plastic Man.
That's going to be much more likely. Yeah, that's going to be pretty likely. At some point, Plastic Man is going to make, you know, a much bigger splash than he has, you know, recently.
Yeah, maybe Baby Plast and Hula, you know, we'll be there. See, okay, we really need to do an 80s cartoon show. You know, just one time. But anyway.
All right, so is that it for...
That's it for the cinematic stuff. We can go into the comic book news, which there's a little bit of, but not so much. Not as much.
Let's just hit the highlights, Roddy.
Sure. Well, DC TV Podcast Unite for a Cancer Charity Marathon. That'll be cool. You know, I don't know when this is going to happen. Okay.
Well, real quick, Dark Horse is going to publish the mini comics that came with the original He-Man and the Masters of the Universe figures. I remember those comics. That kind of made me smile when I read this news.
Yeah, I did too, and I was like, "That's why exactly I put it in there for Bruno Bajos, because I knew at least the three of us were there at that point." So,
the term I use on the show is, you know, folks of a certain vintage. So that is us. So let's see here. We have,
and by the way, the show notes. If you're looking underneath my thing, I have a link to the show notes underneath my on my line. So follow along if you're watching this later.
All right, you guys want to talk about this news that our loyal viewer and friend of the show, Matt Wang put us onto regarding IDW and Made Fire and some stuff with Comixology?
Sure.
Actually, I've been talking with Made Fire and Comixology people today, trying to get some more information on it.
Right.
So basically, Comixology has been, you know, the cornerstone of the digital comics market. And because they had all that leverage, they were doing the apps for basically every company that wanted to, you know, put out a mobile app other than Dark Horse had their own thing, and Marvel had their own thing, but pretty much everyone else was going through Comixology.
Well, Marvel still is built off of Comixology, actually. So.
Well, they sell their stuff, but they have their own app.
Well, yeah. Right. Yeah.
They run their own thing. But otherwise, you can download a Boom-specific app. You can download an IDW-specific app. You can download an Archie app. You can download a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle app, et cetera, to get those digital comics, and they're all running through Comixology. Well, IDW has made some sort of deal with Madefire to switch over to having Madefire run their mobile app. And it seems to hinge around the fact that when Amazon bought out Comixology, they removed the in-app purchases for iOS because Apple was taking too much of a cut out of the sales. But IDW needed those in-app purchases because that was where a lot of their
revenue.
Their random traffic was being picked up through the iOS app. A lot of the people buying on iOS are not going to open a web browser and order something and then pull it up. If they can't buy it right there, they're just going to move on. You know, they're not that loyal. It's much more casual on a lot of that stuff. So Madefire is going to take over on May 28th, I believe it is.
Correct.
They're going to roll out their IDW app and also specific apps for Star Trek and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and all of those types of properties. And when that happens, then you can go, if you create a Madefire account with the same email address that you use on Comixology, then when the new app comes out, you can log in with that email address, you can go to the settings, click restore, it'll connect to your Comixology app, and it'll unlock all of those books in the Madefire app, and then you can continue to buy through the Madefire app and continue to build your library that way. But Comixology will still be selling the IDW books. You can still go to Comixology's website. You can buy them on the Kindle. You can buy them on the Android app, whatever, and still read them through Comixology if you prefer. But if you're going to buy them directly through the app from IDW, you're going to be doing it through Madefire. Now, Madefire's big deal is that they do motion comics. So the comics that look like those bad cartoons from the 1960s for the Fantastic Four were, you know, just an arm moves and you hear a voice talking. Oh, my gosh, I hate those things. But anyway, that's Madefire's big thing is they do sound effects and motion and, you know, the word bubbles don't appear until you click on the panel and then they come into view and that type of thing. So they are going to be selling all of IDW's books in both the motion comic and what they call the print version of the book. So the print version of the book is going to be basically what I read, and then the motion comic being, you know, what people who like that type of stuff will have that available. So both versions will be available in the Madefire app that you can buy them that way. The other thing that they're working on is Madefire at the moment doesn't have a web app. You have to download an iOS, Android, or Windows 8 app in order to watch their motion comics. And they are working on rolling out a web app that will allow you to just go in your web browser and be able to buy and read right there online instead of having to go through a dedicated app. And I will note the weirdest thing, their Windows 8 app only works on ARM devices, which are the Windows RT, or the 64-bit processors. If you are running a 32-bit regular version of Windows 8, you cannot download their app.
Wow.
64-bit or RT, which is the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
Because you would think that if they're going to do RT, they would just go ahead and do 32-bit. But for whatever reason, and if they're going to do 64-bit, they would do 32 and forget about RT. But for whatever reason, they've just decided that they're going to do that ARM-capable RT version and the 64-bit.
Yeah. Well, Windows Phone, up until what they're starting to do now, is a weird animal. So that's a whole other thing going on there.
So, but anyway, yeah, so that's what's going on. If you use those dedicated book apps, and honestly, I don't know who does, but if you are one of those people, then on the 28th, you will have to download the new version of the app because you will not be able to buy in-app anymore through the Comixology-powered version.
I believe you can also, which I don't know too many people are going to do this, on IDW site, which also is worth noting that even if you do get them from Comixology or from their site or from these apps, there is also DRM backups, free. Yes,
yeah,
that you will be able to get from them, and I think that's the other reason they've been pushing for it outside of a cut.
Yeah, Image does the same thing.
Right.
And they've had that for a long time, too, where if you go to the Image website and buy it, you can just download a PDF or a CBR or CBZ of the comic right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
So. All
right. Interesting. Okay. Let's see. What do we have next in news? Roddy, before I jump into my tales of woe and trying to get tickets to New York Comic Con 2015, do you have anything to say about some of the other stories I pretty much just skipped over?
Well, there's a Legendary Comics, Mark Guggenheim, who is the, I guess he's the showrunner for or producer of various shows, DC shows out there, and I think he's written most recently Adjectiveless X-Men. He's done some writing here and there at the time, like Young X-Men and other things. Has a book coming out from Legendary Comics called The Infinite Adventures of Jonas Quantum, and unfortunately I did not read through to see what this is about, but
it's cool that he's writing comics.
Yeah. And yeah, like I said, he has dabbled in it for his books, so I guess he's never really left, because I didn't realize his writing credit was
extensive.
As it did. Yeah.
It is extensive. He's been doing comics on and off, especially if I recall correctly, he had a show with the guy who's in the new Sherlock Holmes show with Lucy Liu. It was called Eli Stone, I think it was.
Oh, that was him?
Yes, I believe he either wrote that or produced it. He had a lead role in the creation and the production of that TV show.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and at that time he was using he used that to kind of springboard into some Marvel work. So, he's been doing this for quite a while.
Gotcha.
All right, and I didn't get what Jill Lepore's criticism of the A-Force book is at Marvel, and now G. Willow Wilson has responded to it.
Yeah, I only saw, like, I was on Twitter the other night, and I only saw the links to the response from G. Willow Wilson, and the people were like, hey, you pretty much tore it up. You nailed it.
Mm.
And I don't necessarily know the original critiques either, but yeah, go check that out, people, because it seems kind of weird from what I skimmed through it, but I don't have enough knowledge to just go through it right here. So.
All right, so I'm going to go right to the news story that seemed to dominate my midweek. This was kind of an odd thing. I know I talked about it on the show previously. I was very disappointed in Repop, the company that produces New York Comic Con, when they announced that they were going to put the tickets for this fall's, in October, New York Comic Con, on sale on May 13th, this past Wednesday, yesterday. And they decided to put them on sale before Special Edition NYC, which is a smaller show that Repop runs that is dedicated to comics and comic creators. Last year was the first year that Special Edition existed, and it was a great show. I loved it, and one of the great perks was that you would have first crack at getting tickets to New York Comic Con, and that was great. That was a great thing. This year, they decided to spring upon everyone a surprise. They, you know, they did put a few restrictions on special edition attendees and their abilities to buy New York Comic Con tickets. They basically gave you a restriction. You could buy like one ticket per person, just depending on, what kind of tickets you were looking for. And, you know, that was a restriction I was okay with. I would just be going. I'm not going there to buy tickets to resell them. I'm going to go there to get my own. Come to see that, you know, a few months later, they announced that they're going to put on the New York Comic Con tickets, put them on sale before Special Edition. So, you know, it's out there for the public. And, you know, even though there is still some incentive to go to Special Edition because they still will have tickets, supposedly. They didn't answer my tweets when I said, hey, you guys better have tickets. What happened on Wednesday was pretty much an unmitigated disaster. The last few years, ReadPop, New York Comic Con, and I guess ShowClix is the company that they're using now to sell their tickets. They have had great difficulty in keeping tickets available for people, you know, trying to come up with a fair way to get people online, or at least on a virtual line, and give them an opportunity to buy tickets. And what they were doing was putting people into a virtual queue and allowing people to, you know, log on, get to the website, and then basically sit in a virtual queue and wait for the website to kind of let them in. and their servers were overwhelmed. The demand for this is huge, and you know, I wasn't even able to get. By the time I was able to get through the 4-day, all the special passes were gone. The 4-day tickets were gone. The 3-day tickets were gone, and the Saturday tickets were gone. That's insane. The tickets went on sale at 12 o'clock. You could get on the queue at 12 o'clock. I was in the queue at 12:01. So that's how bad it was.
Well, on their website, they did post a statement. Did you read through it?
I did. That they that the number of people who logged on to try to get online in the queue far outnumbered the number of tickets that are actually available.
Right. So they had at 12:01, the demand had outstripped the supply of tickets.
Right.
And demand for tickets at noon was roughly quadruple what it was the year before.
Right. So all that, that's great. You know, that's great that there's a great demand. That, you know, it's great that, there's just so many people who want to go. But the backlash, you know, that, you know, it's funny. New York Comic Con, NYCC, was trending on Twitter. Yeah, I think it was like the number one or number two, topic, you know, on Twitter in the world, or at least in America. And it was all, you know, it was trending for the wrong reason. There were so many people who were just complaining about the electronic queue and the system itself that, you know, that's not the kind of attention that you want to draw. They've got to come up with a better way to set up ticket purchasing. I understand that none of the big cons have really come up with a great solution for this. So, you know, it's going to be an ongoing problem. I'm hoping that I'm able to get my ticket at Special Edition so that I'm not shut out of New York Comic Con, because that would suck.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you about, if that was still on the table.
It's on the table. It should be on the table. They haven't answered my tweet, but on the Special Edition website, they're still putting it out there that, you know, first come, first serve. There's a limited number of New York Comic Con tickets, so I guess I'm getting there real early.
They do say it's first come, first serve. Mm-hmm. They will be only sold at the Pier 94 registration counter. One Special Edition New York Comic Con ticket, or a Special Edition ticket, will get you the ability to buy one New York Comic-Con ticket.
Right.
So each Special Edition ticket holder will have the ability to buy one Comic-Con ticket. You cannot buy two or three or four,
right,
or whatever, and you must be physically present at the time of purchase.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot take your ticket and your friend's ticket and go to try to buy two. Say, I have two tickets, I want to buy two.
Right.
It's one per person per Special Edition ticket holder.
Right.
So hopefully that will, you know, allow someone like you to be able to go in and get that ticket.
Right, that is the hope. And I did get my Special Edition ticket in the mail, so I'm good to go for that.
Cool.
But
also, they say if you go to a resale ticket site and you see tickets for New York Comic Con, don't buy them.
That's right.
They're trying to get them. They're going to be just basically trolling those sites, looking for people selling them. They're going to try to get those tickets revoked and get them pulled off those websites.
Right, because that's part of the ticket agreement that they're not for resale.
Right. So there is a possibility if you buy one of those resold tickets, you may get there and it may not work. So keep that in mind.
Makes sense, but you know, people try to those things happen. So
yeah, absolutely. But anyway, you know, that was an adventure that I did not need to go on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. You know, sitting at my desk at work. I know Wang. You know, you're watching or listening. You know, we were both doing this for quite a bit of time on Wednesday, sitting at our desk at work. It was pretty interesting.
Hmm. Hey, and speaking of, real quick, this is the worst time to bring this up, but yeah, the question was asked earlier. Can we ask questions? And yes, the Q&A app is actually open. I did have it set up. So if you have any questions for us on the show, you know, and you're watching or listening, feel free to put them in the comments or whatever. However that works out. So,
all right.
So Diamond Select is unlikely to make Marvel figures based on the Fox movies. All this pretty much
big surprise.
Yeah, you know, they're basically saying that, hey, that whole deal with the Marvel movies and whatnot is kind of fluid. So, you know, we might not be doing this other stuff. Who knows? We'll see how that goes. That was pretty much the thing on it. Which, you know, Diamond Select does the thing that is a market that just, I don't know whether if Marvel's going to be wrong saying, hey, no, don't do that, which you got to feel like that's probably going to be the case.
All right.
I don't know.
All right. Well, we can skip over the next one because we're going to be talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
So Marvel's going to put out director's cut versions of Star Wars number one and Darth Vader number one. That's actually pretty cool. I like those director's cuts where you could see the pencils.
Mm-hmm.
and some of the script. They usually include the script as well, so it's interesting to see how the pencil or artist translates the script onto onto the comic page.
Yeah, which is cool stuff. How many? Because I know that book in particular got reissued probably three or four different times already.
Which one?
Star Wars. Well, actually, both. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're.
Oh, you mean in terms of reprints?
Right.
Yeah, they're definitely in the second or third reprinting for those two books already. So.
Yeah. If you already have, you're getting on this for the extra stuff. So
exactly, the director's cuts are always cool. You know, for anyone who's artistically inclined or just into the creative process, you can really see the nuts and bolts of what how the book came together. Mm-hmm. Now, I just saw this. Did this drop today? This news about Aquaman's new costume in the post-convergence world.
I want to say yes.
Okay. So apparently, they have released images of Aquaman post convergence, and he's sporting some new duds.
It's the sampler. The sampler or whatever at the end of the book.
Okay.
Let me see if
that was out this week. Okay.
Yeah. Hold on a second.
By the way, yeah, there are a bunch of those that are out, or more of those, but I didn't get a chance to read any of those, but there are links about the there's a link in the show notes, and there are links abound on the hashtag Comic Book Chronicles OCBChron.
Okay.
If you go to Comixology, you can actually download the
right, and that's where the link I got to. I put out. Yeah.
And I think it looks fine. I don't know why people are freaking out. I don't know what there is to freak out about.
Yeah. I don't see anything too egregious about it. At least from the image that that came up when I opened up the article. So I'm not sure what people could be going on about. Maybe it's a hint at what the movie costume might look like. God forbid there's synergy.
I think shout out to Classic Material because he had mentioned something like that. Because when I posted early on News Nerds Need, he was like just in time for the movies, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
This is more of a movie. A movie-centered costume, anyway. It kind of looks like Namor's costume from New Avengers, right about now, minus the vest part.
Right,
but
right. You can definitely see that. This could be something. And what's funny is that it gives the appearance of armor and protection, and that's obviously a running theme in superhero costumes in the movies. So, it makes sense that they would have something that they could possibly replicate in the movies.
Yeah, he's wearing a much bigger belt. It almost looks like a WWE championship belt with that Aquaman symbol there in the middle.
Right.
You've got the orange and green is still on his pants, though, so you got those classic colors. But then he's wearing that dark black
breastplate.
Yeah, whatever that is. But that does actually have it looks like an inlay, almost like a textured inlay drawn into it that looks kind of like those Peloponnesian tattoos that they had all over. The guys like The Rock have that tattooed all over their chests and on their arms, and they showed that in that promotional pic of the guy being Aquaman, and that's that kind of pattern in his breastplate there. So
interesting.
It does kind of look like they're drawing some of that stuff into the outfit, but I think the outfit looks fine.
Yeah, I didn't really see too much outrage about it, but then again, after I saw this link, I was like, okay, sure, it's Aquaman. And what you gonna do, brother, when these fish come swimming around you?
Oh no!
I missed that part of Aquaman.
Yeah, it was right after they put they retouched his arm.
Oh no! That's funny. Alrighty. Do we have any more comic news?
No, the rest of that is there's not much to that. Just a couple of releases and an art project.
Alrighty. Alrighty. So anything in the variant corner?
The variant covers for Marvel A-Force, some of them are pretty good.
Cool.
If I can do a screen
print. Yeah, follow the link in the show notes, people. Boop. Are there any artists of note that if you drop the name I'd recognize right away?
Well, I've heard off the bat there's the Scotty Young one who I'm showing right now, and there was another, that's the actual regular cover. Oh, and there's also a 8-page or so preview of the show,
of the book,
yeah. So I don't think I've even seen too many artists' names unless they're on the things themselves. But the main one they were talking about was the Scotty Young one. And also they're doing Ant-Man. Oops, there we go. They're doing Ant-Man size variants for June. So you can kind of go check that out.
I wonder why they would do Ant-Man variants. Things that make you go,
Okay, quick question for you. In the middle of this variant, there's this cosmic person. Who is that?
It is not Captain Universe. I believe her name was Infinity or something like that. I can't remember what it was. They said the name of it a while back, but I can't remember the name.
That's interesting.
But at least we got Dazzler back, right?
That's what I was
hoping for.
Yeah, disco suit Dazzler at that.
Look at that. Yeah. That's funny.
I'm kind of curious about that book. That ought to actually be pretty... It seemed to be pretty good from the... Well, you can't really tell much from the preview, but I'm curious. There's a couple of Secret Wars books that I'm mildly interested in, which we will get onto Secret Wars in a little bit. But the one last variant... See if I can get this a bit bigger, which you can't. Francavilla did a Life with Afterlife with Archie variant, and of course, this is if you're watching the screen, you will see that it denotes, and you are of a certain vintage, you will know it from a certain movie from back in the day.
Pull this up and see what you're talking about.
Oh yeah, yes, I thought that was a pretty cool thing.
That's pretty cool.
I can't get a bigger issue. But anyway, that is a cool thing. So if you can get a chance to check that out and you're a fan of The Shining, by all means, go forth.
There you go. There you go. All righty. So we've reached the end of our new segments. This is where we're going to read our weekly ad to support our podcast. And here we go. Keep our podcast free by shopping at Amazon. Visit coldslitherpodcast.com. Then click the Keep Our Podcast Free link at the top of the page. From there, scroll down and click on the Amazon link to shop. Purchase items from Amazon.com as you normally would, whether it's books, music, electronics, jewelry, apparel, etc., etc. For every purchase made on Amazon through our link, Amazon sends the CSPN a payment, dollar-dollar bills, that helps us keep the Cold Slither Podcast and... Well, actually, wait, not the Cold Slither Podcast, the Comic Book Chronicles podcast free for our listeners at extra cost to you and other shows on the network.
Mm-hmm.
Amazon.com through ColdSlitherPodcast.com. Do it today. There you go.
Solid. All right, well, let's get into some of these books, gentlemen. There were a lot of books this week.
Plenty, plenty, although no one filled out the sheet at all except for Roddy.
Well, I usually do it a little behind the scenes. I do it as I'm reading them, because that way I won't forget come time to show.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. All right, so is there anything that we all read at once? I'm presuming that we all read Secret War number 2. Yeah, Secret Wars number 2.
Oh, man, yes. Let's get on that one real quick.
All right, let's roll. So now we've gotten into the meat of the story. What do you guys think of where this is going?
I'm very happy with this.
Yes.
Okay. Please explain.
No, that's it. That's all I got to say.
And that's the show.
Some review we got here, fellas.
All right, so here was the thing for me. I don't know if you guys have seen this. Have either one of you read 1602?
I did.
Okay.
Did
any of this remind you a little bit of that and a little bit of House of M kind of mixed into this? And I'm not trying to reduce the story at all, but it kind of had shades of both of those for me.
Well, just like the kingdom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was a kingdom empire type of thing.
Mm-hmm. That was that's the kind of the House of M stuff, but just on a nice broader scale. And then the 1602 stuff were kind of the inner workings, because basically what we see, we were pretty much setting up the rules of the world in this issue. We start off by seeing the Thorkor, you know, under the rule of their god, which is Doom. We also see, it's skipping ahead, but you also see some of the threads that have been going through New Avengers and Avengers with some of the outline stuff, like Doom, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you kind of see some of that kind of interwoven in here. If you've been keeping up with that. Now, if you haven't been keeping up with that stuff, you can still kind of take this for what it is. You just won't have that tie.
I felt like the first issue was very unfriendly for new readers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Where a lot of people who have not been reading Avengers and New Avengers were going to look at that book and just have no clue what's going on and have no idea why any of this was happening. But this issue, one, it lays out the mythology of the world, so you kind of understand a little bit more what's going on. And it's a little more interesting than what it originally sounded like, where you've got like these different worlds within Battle World, but here it kind of makes a little more sense that they're kind of kingdoms within this world that's been created. But it also I think, did a much better job of telling a coherent story of you have this world, they have some questions about where it came from, you understand where, who Doom is, and then you have this group of characters, I won't spoil, who make an appearance that, like, I was marking out when I got to that point where you think you're going in one direction, and then all of a sudden you get hit with that swerve, and it takes the story in a completely different direction. I thought the first issue was okay, but it wasn't great. This issue, I was in love with.
Yeah, that's something to hear from you, Dirt. That really says a lot. You know, I'll tell you that. You know, when I read this, I definitely got the vibe that you guys got, but I picked up on something that Dirt was just saying. In terms of, you know, this was definitely not what we thought it was going to be. I honestly thought this was going to resemble the various realities that are on the Convergence world,
as opposed to
literally being a world based on realities that Doom created out of his own, you know, either subconscious or conscious or whatever, you know?
Right, because there's a section of the world is the Marvel zombies.
Right.
And so I was expecting you had the bunch of Marvel zombie characters walking around a beat-up Manhattan, and you'd have a couple of the holdout characters like Machine Man and whoever be wandering around fighting them, and they'd have no clue of what else was going on in the world around them until, you know, someone would stumble into their little section, and then you'd have some sort of crossover. But instead, it's more like, here's this section of the world that is walled off from everybody else because there are these zombie creature things living within it. And so it's more of an extension of the idea brought into this world as opposed to just kind of hodgepodging these things together.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like, it's not an actual reality or setting. It's actually integrated into a greater setting.
Yes, taking the concepts and piecing them together instead of just lumping things on top of each other.
Right. And I definitely saw the difference. You know, this is the main difference in, you know, between the two, you know, somewhat similar concepts between Convergence and Secret Wars.
And having not read too much Convergence at this point, I would say quite deftly done. So only so far, you know, with the way they're shaping out the world. So I'm looking forward to seeing more of this. And this is a potential clicker week.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I definitely got the whole marking out thing, Dirt.
Yeah, this is definitely a potential clicker week for myself as well.
Cool.
But if I was going to pick this as a click, though, I would have to go with this variant cover.
Of course.
Of the toy as opposed to the...
That is so awesome. I had that.
Yeah, so did I.
Did you? Yeah. I had one of them. I can't remember. I think I had Black Suit and Spidey.
I had a bunch of those.
Mm.
Although I definitely, when I was a kid, really hated the fact that everyone had a shield and it wasn't just Cap.
That didn't really make sense, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
But anyway, no, I enjoyed this book. I definitely was intrigued by the setup, and I also marked out, you know, in the same spot that Dirt did. So, you know, that's pretty cool. That is pretty, pretty cool. All right. Did anyone have another book that maybe we all read?
In Better Read Darth Vader number 5?
Yep.
Indeed.
Hey, well, there's a good choice.
There you go, then. This book continues to be good. This one, actually, no, yes. I mean, this does continue. I was going to go in two different places for this, but I didn't want to just say that it was like it continues to be good and just let that be that, because, you know, even in the issues that had just talking, which I believe was the last one, mm-hmm. you know, maybe a little bit of action, this one has a little bit more action, especially near the end of the book, and sets up a premise that we clearly would never and have never seen in the movies. You know, but they can do what they want because it's the movies. So here we have Darth Vader and Dr. Aphra and the two droids basically trying to figure out what the Emperor's group being into, thinking he's going to get replaced. And in a way, sure enough, that is actually the case because he doesn't stumble, but he finds his way to this one installation where things have been going on and he enters it in a quite familiar fashion. If anybody is a fan of the particularly the first movie, the Star Wars A New Hope, for those who call it A New Hope, because I know there are some people who don't. so that was a good reference. Kieran Gillen is pretty much killing it on that is him. Yeah, he's on this book, and even with the droids who are still, you know, they come in and out on their part. it's pretty great. And at the end, we see you know, what's been going on, which I don't know, could be something cool or not. But Darth Vader's not having it.
I didn't like this one quite as much as the other ones. I think this is probably the weakest issue.
Is it the concept that they tried to introduce, Dirk, that you weren't so keen on?
Yeah, I think so. I just kind of felt like when we got to the end and we're looking at the supposed...
challengers, almost.
Yeah, that they didn't feel like this is the top tier of what you can find to replace Darth Vader with that he's going to have to square off against. It felt more like a Scooby-Doo type of reveal. Dastardly villain, and I don't want to give too much away from it, but it just didn't feel like this was a true menace to Darth Vader as it should be, as opposed to just finding you could just as easily have him walk into a room full of bounty hunters that he's going to have to fight against. Like, I just don't see them as this being the top tier threat.
And which may not be the case. This could very well be the beginning of a potential threat. You know?
Right. Well, considering that, you know, spoiler alert. Considering that, you know, we kind of discover what the plot is that Vader has been kind of investigating and been on the periphery of, you know, I think the threat may be better established in the next issue.
Right.
You know, if you get my meaning, because of who appears at the end of this issue in addition to this, you know, like, supposed threat.
Well, that was the point I was talking about, yeah. So
I was just going to say, this could be what lays the groundwork for his eventual turn against the Emperor that we see in Return of the Jedi. Like, this is what puts those doubts in his mind and kind of puts him on that track that eventually, you know, plays out at the end, as opposed to, you know, when you're, you know, 10 years old and you're watching Return of the Jedi for the first time, you're like, wait, what? Like, why is this happening? This doesn't make any sense.
Right.
So this may kind of, you know, grow that part of the story a little bit, but I just didn't feel, I don't know, it didn't feel as cool as I thought it should have for the grand reveal and the show off at the end.
Oh, I happen to really like the art. I think LaRocque is still doing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he's doing a bang up job on this.
And don't get me wrong. I mean, saying that this is the weakest of the bunch is, you know, I mean, that's like saying Return of the Jedi is the weakest of the original trilogy. I mean, it's still a great movie. You know, it's just there are three of them. You got to choose one to be at the top and one to be at the bottom.
Right.
Of the five issues we've had, this is the one I would put on the bottom, but by no means does it make it a bad book.
Sure. All right. So moving on. Let's see. Is there anything? Dirt, is there a book that you wanted to talk about this week?
Well, I don't know. I can talk about Convergence.
I read the main book, and the one thing I wanted to mention about this, I'm glad you brought it up, is that it was kind of comforting to see the new 52 heroes appear.
Yes, that was my thought, is up until now we hadn't seen anything of them. It just looked like these were old universes that we were seeing, and I kind of wondered what happened to the characters. I thought maybe they were just somehow lost in the shuffle or something, but... Once you get into the story and you see that these guys still exist out there in their own universe and everything happening in Convergence is happening somewhere else, we'll just say that they're being pulled together now. It's funny, though, how much suddenly you have in the DC universe, you have the main Earth is now being threatened by another planet coming into its space in the universe with giant holes. It's almost like an incursion is happening in the universe.
Oh, no, it couldn't be a conversion, could it?
but, I mean, who's the Namor of the new 52 that's going to be willing to kill everybody to save them? But, no, I was very happy to see the way they started pulling in more of an actual storyline as opposed to just seeing these Earth 2 guys kind of fumble around and get lost and try to find their way through this hodgepodge planet.
Right.
It's starting to feel like it's actually coming together as a real story, which is kind of odd that it's happening in issue 6 out of 8.
Yeah, I was going to say, how could it take this long to try to establish, you know, the kind of the parameters of the story? Because I don't recall really understanding what was going on up until now.
Yeah, and if you hadn't been reading the Earth 2 stuff, it just, you know, you didn't really understand what was going on with them and why they were there and everything that happened with them leading up into this story. And again, it's the Earth 2 people. Most people don't care about them. It's not a high-selling book. It's not a real marquee group of heroes that you're going to build this story around. So I think part of it is also that once you have like the real Justice League, the real Superman, the real Batman, the real Wonder Woman showing up, then suddenly the story has a lot more gravity than it did before when it was just the B-roll of heroes trying to fight some random dude you'd never heard of before.
Right. I just think it's interesting that, like you said, it just took this long for them to appear in the main Convergence book.
In the middle of an incursion of this other planet.
Right.
To destroy Earth.
Gotta love it.
But it does at least now feel like it's a story that matters a little more than it did before. Whereas before it was just these Earth 2 heroes trying to find a place that they're going to live, and who cares? Mm-hmm. Now that you see real characters getting involved, now I can care about it a little more. And if you buy the Tony Daniel variant cover, then you actually get your new 52 heroes coming to the rescue. So it slowly redeems the series, but it's still not what it really should be at this point. And I guess part of that is just them, you know, having the substitute writers and artists coming in and filling in for these 2 months while they're moving everything. That's what you get, I guess, with the Legion of Substitute Heroes.
Yeah. All right. All right. So do you have anything else to say about the other Convergence books out this week?
I didn't get a chance to read very much of them. But most of them, you know, the first wave of books and all the month one books were, here come a bunch of heroes. They've been living in this place for a year. You see what their lives are. And then at the end of the book, you found out they were going to have to fight each other.
Mm-hmm.
Then now you're in month two. Everybody's fighting against each other. And then they realize there must be some better way to do this, so then they all kind of stop fighting each other and start to team up against Telos.
Love it.
So they're all following that same basic pattern. So again, a lot of these books just really don't matter in the long run. A lot of these books are just an attempt to showcase some of these characters and these universes, these concepts that you haven't seen for a long time. So if there was a particular time period or a particular version of the character that you liked, you can go back and find them within the stories. But for the most part, it just, like, these are placeholder stories, it feels like, to get all
the characters. Feels pretty empty, doesn't it?
Yeah, they're just getting them so that they're going to line up, because I have a feeling in the next issue of Convergence, you're going to have all these people from all these different worlds appear as the giant army standing on the hilltop getting ready to move in for the final battle that will take place in issue 8. So it's just build up, it's filler, but it's really just there for nostalgia purposes. It really doesn't matter in the long run. You know, like Suicide Squad, I think, was pretty good. Shadow of the Bat was okay. It just showed them versus the Wetworks. So you got an idea of how different it was with heroes in the 90s in the world of Image versus the heroes of DC, you know. But, you know, again, it's buy the ones you want to buy because you like that version of the character. Mm-hmm. And if you don't care about that particular time period of the character, then just move on.
Wow.
There's not a lot of point to it.
Gotcha. All righty. Let's see here. What will I bring up? You know what? It hit the news this week. I'm going to bring it up. I happen to like this issue a lot. Did anyone else read Thor number 8 this week?
Nope.
I flipped through it just because of the reveal.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, I was curious to see who it was. Not curious enough to actually buy it, but curious enough to flip through it and spoil it for myself.
Gotcha. What's funny is that I actually spoiled it for myself before reading it, and then I read it, and I thought, wow, you know what? Aaron's just did a great job of executing the story and putting in a swerve, because in case you didn't know and you didn't get spoiled by the news this week, the identity of Chick Thor, yes, I still call her Chick Thor, the identity of Chick Thor has been revealed, and it is not necessarily who you thought it was, or not necessarily who Aaron had led every reader to believe it was.
Or who Thor thought it was, even. Or
that's
Odin's
correct.
Son. Odin's
son. That's correct, exactly. The Odin son was just like, what?
I did like that moment, because I could see Chris Hemsworth with the confused look on his face standing there stumbling like an idiot.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Is it Dowderman who's doing the art on this month?
Yeah.
Dowderman had a good couple of pages there. You know, I definitely understand what Dirt was referencing. You know, you could see the expressions on the Odinson's face were really, really expressive and very good, and definitely relayed the confusion that the character had to have been experiencing when this whole, you know, conversation and reveal or semi-reveal had gone was happening on the page. So, you know, I like this. This was, you know, this is a definite candidate for Click of the Week for me. I have enjoyed Thor. I've enjoyed Jason Aaron's run on Thor. I know I've been a staunch supporter of the book and of, you know, Jason Aaron's run in general. And this, the last couple of issues were really well done. You know, they you definitely felt like they were getting somewhere and that they were going to, you know, get to this reveal, you know, in good time and actually make it, you know, hard hitting and really, you know, just I don't want to say meaningful because, you know, we'll see where this goes from here. But, you know, it ended up being a very well-crafted story. You know, I felt like this book kind of meandered right at the beginning when we were trying to establish that, you know, there's confusion about who the new Chick Thor is and, you know, what the Odinson's role is. But, you know, the last few issues have really served to, especially, and I think it's because we've gone back to, kind of not an old trope per se, but this is something that that has been in the Thor books for a long time. It's Odin being Odin, in that he's, you know, kind of being a stubborn old coot, and, you know, Freya is kind of acting as a go-between, and, you know, it's kind of cool that, you know, Odin sort of reasserting or asserting himself as being a stubborn old coot of a king, and, you know, that's created some of the
conflict.
The reasons. No, I was about to say the reasons for the turns that the story takes.
My one question is, since you've been reading this book and you're much more familiar with the characters than I am, the character who we find out is Thor, she makes a comment that this is slowly killing her.
Or not beneficial for her, yes.
Was she sick before? Did she have some sort of health problem? Okay.
All right. Yes. This is well established. This has been established.
Okay.
Thor God of Thunder series.
Okay. All right. That's all I had.
No, so, that's, okay, fine. That's fine. Without spoiling completely who it is, right?
Right.
I'm surprised you're restrained for not spoiling it because since it's out there so much. But yeah, that's a pretty good deal. So here's my question.
Read it because I like this. This is a.
I already know. It's been spoiled. So.
Yeah, it's
a candidate for Click of the Week. Matter. Yeah, so I have two questions here. Now that this has been revealed, you think you're going to keep up with this book?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Does it make it more compelling, or?
It's just as compelling. It's just as compelling now that I know who it is. You know, long time, and partially, this is partially spoiling who it is. Long time readers will appreciate who it is and how this kind of flips an old Thor trope from old Thor books on its head.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense if you think about it. Now, so my next question is, and we can move on, did you have an idea, who did you think it was?
Without spoiling too much?
Yeah, I mean, did you have any idea who it was, you know, know it was her, or did you think it was somebody else?
The person who it ends up being, the person who ends up being the new female Thor was definitely high on everyone's list, right? But Aaron did a very good job of making everyone think, leading everyone to believe that it was a certain person. And I thought it was that certain person. I fell for it. You know, I thought it was, I'll put it this way, I thought it was a certain agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. We'll put it at that. We'll leave it at that.
Was there an established way that this person would have found themselves on the moon?
No.
Exactly.
Okay. No, that has to be explained. Because that was how a lot of people that was one of the swerves that Aaron threw in either the last issue or the issue before that made you think it was a certain person because they had the means to make it to the moon.
Because I'd go ahead and say it, I thought it was Freya. So
right,
but I wasn't reading the book, so I wouldn't have found out until this time anyway.
Right.
Well, see, and I thought it was Night Nurse, but now we found out she's got something else going on. So.
Not Millie and Papa.
That's funny.
My mistake.
That's funny.
All right. There was a joke that went around Twitter. It was like, all right, it's Betty White. You can all go home now or something like that. I was like, you know what? I probably would have read that.
Yeah, I was about to say, if it was Betty White, that would be pretty funny.
Did you buy your New York City variant edition of Thor number 8?
No, what does that look like? Oh, wow.
It's the Macy's Day Parade version of Captain America that she's flying over.
Wow, there is no Cap balloon, but that would be a great balloon.
Well, shouldn't there be?
There should be. I love the Spidey balloon, but this would be an awesome balloon.
Yeah, but Agent 70 would just go and steal it, so it's probably just as well.
I'm going to go. You know what? When I pick up my books tomorrow, I'm going to see if I can get my hands on a copy of this. This is pretty cool, this New York cover. I like that.
All right. And pick up one of Standy's while you're at it.
There you go. All right.
All right, so what else do we have here? Miss Marvel number 15. Let's go a little out of the way here. So
I read this. I read this. Was this kind of you go ahead, because then I'll see if what I was thinking of you actually mentioned. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, all I was gonna say is like this is Kamala who was kidnapped by her crush Cameron, I believe his name was, and taken somewhere, let's say for right now, and oh, screw it.
Hold on. Oh. You gotta tell me to ring the bell.
it's not that big a deal, cause, I mean, but she finds herself trapped in, oh, I misspelled that, in New Atlan, but she did not know it at the time that she breaks away from her lineage, who I don't know too much about, but I'm not reading Inhumans, which I guess I should.
You should be.
Yeah, and Cameron. So basically there's this group of Inhumans that are trying to uprise, you know, as you do, and take over, but they need people, so they're trying to recruit Kamala into the fold, and she's not having it, and she tried to get away from them. She also needs help, which in the course of her, you know, trying to get away, you know, she sees her inner monologue, you know, with her dealing with Cameron, and you know, just her general state of being, mind. And all of this, and it was pretty good because we also start to see, you know, near the end of the book, she's like, she gets more tougher, which she has been growing into be, you know, in during the whole series. Mm-hmm. And this was kind of an enjoyable book for that book, you know, and it also starts to turn, I guess it's going to start a turning point for her coming out of this, or at least, you know, a little more indentured into Inhumans or what have you. At least that's the way it looks like.
Well, I mean, she's definitely appeared in the. I think she appeared in the Inhuman Annual.
If I'm not mistaken.
And you know, because that was only last week, but you know, we've had so many books to look at recently that it's hard to remember. But you know, she's definitely playing a much larger role in the greater Inhuman world. You know, that's being created now, and you know, they're showing a lot more interconnectedness between this book and the Inhumans book. I really, really liked the Miyazawa art. It's so very expressive, you know. I like the colors as well. The colors by Ian Herring really do a great job of enhancing the work. Nothing is muddy. Everything is very clear, and you know, the story. I was okay with the story. I like the fact that you know, she's being creative and smart. You know, Kamala Khan was being creative and smart, not necessarily just trying to overpower her her opponents, but using some wits and trying to outsmart them. You know, we could sort of see where this is going at the end. You know, where there is you know, the hints of a possible relationship brewing. You know, in the book, mm-hmm. She is a teenage girl after all. It's not, you know, it's not going to be a storyline that they're, you know, it's almost a must that they explore, you know, the storyline now that creepy Cameron has been revealed to be something a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like this book. This was another this too was a candidate for Click of the Week for me, just because I thought, you know, I was really impressed at how they were wrapping the story up, and. You know, like you said, really, really cementing Kamala's place in the, you know, in the fabric of the Inhuman story right now.
Right. I'm trying to get to a certain page. There were a couple other nice little key issues, and they had to do with references to mm-hmm. other franchises, which I very much appreciated in this book.
Oh, like so pop culture type things, or
yes.
Okay.
So, but yeah, like you, I enjoyed the art and. Like, I don't know if this was. Well, I know who, like Alfonso is usually on the book, so I don't know if mm-hmm. this was.
No, like this is.
Are you taking over?
It's rotating.
Okay.
Rotating. Miyazawa has been a regular contributor to this book. I don't know if they alternate either, you know, like one after the other, or if they do, you know, two at a time, but Miyazawa's been a regular contributor on this, and it's part of why the book has had mostly a consistent look to it.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
All right, let's see.
But yeah, that was great. So,
what else did I read? I read mostly Marvel with a hint of DC, just the Convergence book. Let's see here. You want to talk about Captain America and the Mighty Avengers number 8 real quick?
Sure. I just skimmed it, but there's not much I can say about it.
What's hey, I actually on read it? That one.
Oh,
did you? Sure.
I did. Just because it was a last day's Secret Wars tie-in, so I wanted mm-hmm. to see what was going on.
Mm-hmm. Which I believe is the first one.
Is this a Magneto?
Okay.
Oh, I didn't read Magneto this week. Okay.
Neither did I.
And what I got out of this is that the Mighty Avengers are the biggest group of crybabies in the Marvel Universe. This is like the emo issue where every character just sits there and cries that...
the world is coming to an end.
No, they should have told... You guys should have told me. You should have told me what was going
there
on.
Was a little
Why
bit,
didn't you tell
a
me about that?
I got kind of tired of that towards the end. You know, yeah. We could have worked it out together if you just told us.
To which, you know what, it's not an Avengers, you know, a book if that doesn't happen at some point, mm-hmm. you know, so. Mm-hmm.
I feel, you know, I kind of felt bad for the Blue Marvel when he was saying that because, you know, Black Panther's like, well, no, what Blue Marvel says, well, you kept it to your, you know, you told five people about the end of the world and the end of the universe, and Black mm-hmm. Panther comes right back at him and says, well, I told the right five people. And I'm right. like, well, I guess you're not smart enough then, Dr. Bashir.
Right. And that was and there was another part of that that was like, well, okay, he's kept a lot of things to himself because he's got his crusade doing his other stuff. And then, like, exactly. Just like going on that point, like, wait, if he was so smart, he probably would have been able to figure out something else, you know, if there was a bigger thing going on. But he didn't. So I'm thinking that some of that might have had something to do with why he was kind of butthurt about it.
Right.
So. But yeah, like I said, for those points, it was like this issue was a little off for me. But at the same time, it was all right for a.
Yeah, you know what? Just as a final note, I was kind of confused by the whole, and maybe it's just because I couldn't quite remember what happened in the last issue. I remember being excited about next wave Captain Marvel kind of being integrated into the Marvel canon. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was a reference at the beginning of the book, you know, kind of a side note where, you know, Monica Rambeau is dressed as one thing and then at the end she changes into another. I'm like, what is the significance of this?
Yeah, that part kind of threw me off too. I was like, why even bring that up? What's the, mm-hmm. I mean, what does that have to do with, what was going on at the time? Which, by the way, we should mention, Steve Rogers shows up in the book and pretty much lays down what's been going on. And I kind of liked his supermarket analogy for what's been going on with the incursions and whatnot. I thought that was an interesting way to put things. Mm-hmm. And then which starts off the bottom of them just being silly.
Okay, real quick.
What's that?
I wanted to ask, as a fan of Captain America, and I've been reading most of these Avengers books and the Captain America books, when did Steve Rogers stop being a frail little dude and become someone that could fill out this uniform?
Well, he works out.
Yeah. I know that, but still... Like he, you know, like depending on the artist, he actually looks like just like an older, super fit dude, as opposed to the frail guy that had the super soldier serum.
Well, he's got a good tailor, so you know.
It's all padding. It's padding, right?
When he was in She-Hulk, he was the guy from the retirement home mm-hmm. With his cane that couldn't get around very well anymore. And then in this one, he's more like I don't even know. He's like Charles Bronson making his return.
Right.
You know, 10 years after he's supposed to be dead, makes that one last movie where he's all buff and mean and ready to punch people in the face through plate glass windows. You know?
And we had seen this. And you know what's funny is I feel like at some point they may have explained this in Avengers or New Avengers because we've seen this
Well, that's what I was going to say because this pretty much plays onto the New Avengers Cap where he's pissed off at everybody for what they've been doing and now that he knows and like I'm going after them like either you're with me or I'm coming after you too just like he kind of says in this issue also.
Well, it did jump ahead at one point,
right?
Because at one point everyone is fine and doing their thing and then the next thing you know everybody's on the run and they've splintered into these different groups
mm-hmm.
and slowly the rest of the universe caught up to them. So I guess there's always that possibility in those weeks or months that we jumped ahead that somehow he got some new serum or it went into remission or he started doing the Atkins diet. I don't know. Which is something within that time period just put him back on track of being
exactly. And I think Dirt, I'm glad that you mentioned the whole time jump.
The Atkins diet.
Oh, yeah, right. The whole time jump thing. Thank you very much. You know, that reminds me that there was that that significant leap in time, and you know, maybe something happened that may be revealed in the pages of Captain America eventually. But you know, it's so much has happened that you know it's just sort of escaped my memory that you know we've seen this before. Like you said, you know, when they were arresting, you know, when they were hunting down the Illuminati in like a not too distant future, we saw Steve Rogers dressed like this and kind of, you know, like super fit, and we never got any explanation for it.
See, I'm taking it this way, though, and this is the way I've had to kind of justify it. So he doesn't have the serum in his phone anymore, but even some of that, he's had it in him for so long, not necessarily that the serum is the super soldier serum, but that his physique wasn't just going to degrade, except for the fact that we've had artist renditions that would suggest otherwise. I'm just thinking that he's pretty much like, you know, for old head Jack LaLanne, like he got older, but even though that's slightly different because he was still working out and doing whatever thing he even
died.
So he was probably still fit enough to where, you know, this still makes sense. That's how I'm kind of justifying it. It's just he just doesn't have the serum in him.
Yeah, I was just mentioning it because I don't even recall them explaining it, so I figured I just missed it, but it doesn't sound like they've even talked about it.
Right, because it is weird. Because like I said, just like we said, you know, there's been times where they've shown him a lot more frailer than you know what you would think he would be, even without the serum, or in one way or the other.
Gotcha. All right. So, anyone else got any books they want to talk about? Or Uncanny Avengers? Anyone read Uncanny Avengers number 4?
Read it. Yeah.
I'm not interested in the story. I'm sorry.
No. This really actually we can if you want to we can kind of go into
You want to rant?
Yeah, well, no, we're just going to rapid fire after this if you want to. Because
it's getting really late. Not much. Holy cow, I didn't realize what time it was.
Yeah, so they're really not. Meanwhile, so they're still on counter Earth. We find out still a little bit more about Wanda and Quicksilver's origins, but not so much to where it really makes a difference. They've been passed around so long, it really doesn't matter at this point. And I have seen suggestions of. Which I thought was going to come out in this issue of them not being mutants anymore, which I think that's been established. I don't know. Outside of that, we start to see the team start to find each other and come back together and, get together for the last fight against High Evolutionary and his daughter, I guess, and whoever that is to him. This story's been kind of lagging for me. I mean, the art's been all right, and it's moving, but not enough to really just all right. Get to the point. Like, is there something here or not? Because this has pretty much been a long arc. And the thing with Vision and the other AI robot, whatever, is kind of like, what is this? What's going to happen here?
Yeah, like seriously, you know, this story is lost me a long time ago.
Yeah.
And you know, it's I don't know if I'm going to keep reading this. It's gotten very it's gotten very unfriendly to even a casual reader.
And even the last iteration of Uncanny was kind of hard, you know, had a hard read in the beginning with the Kang stuff. And there was no telling when, and I guess, I don't know if this one is being affected by Secret Wars or just going to push through it, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But if they ended after this one, I don't know, I might as well, because Uncanny's been getting an iffy book with their starting arcs.
Right. Okay. Alrighty, so rapid fire, folks?
Yep.
All right. I think I've run basically out of books. I think what I'll talk about very quickly is Silk number 4. We have Cindy Moon testing out her powers courtesy of the Fantastic Four. And it turns out that, you know, she's asking for help from Reed Richards. And, you know, Reed has a couple recommendations to how to help her kind of overcome some of the problems that she's been having with her powers. And in the meantime, Johnny Storm, you know, kind of sticks himself in between the pheromones between Cindy Moon and Peter Parker, and asks her out on a date. And you know, it's a nice little interlude. You know, it's kind of a cool little personal issue for Silk. You know, in exploring her character a little bit more, expanding on what it's like for her to kind of go on a date since she hasn't really had this kind of interaction with anyone other than Peter Parker for 10 years. So You know, that part is interesting. We do get to a point at the end of the issue where we are leading up to a confrontation with the Black Cat, confrontation with the Black Cat, or at least her extra super-powered minions. So we'll see where this goes. This book is okay. It's not living up to the expectations that I had for a new female spider-powered character, but I'm willing to give it one more, you know, kind of letting this Black Cat arc finish, and I'll wait for that to play out before I really render any sort of judgment on the book. See if there's anything else I can throw in. I missed out on Guardians 3000 number 8. I hope you had a good time reading that.
From what I skimmed through, I'll just go ahead and hit it real quick. From what I skimmed through, it seemed to be all right. They're the villain with Korvac, and well, they have confronted Korvac, which, you know, longtime comic readers would know that there's a big arc for them. There's really not much else to say because I've kind of just skimmed it, but it's, from what I've read of it, it's, well, I'm still in the middle of reading, actually. It seemed like, all right, I don't know if this is going to be the last book or not because I haven't gotten to that point yet, and it sounds like they're going to, I guess, I know this is not going to come back after Secret Wars, correct?
All right.
Do we know that? I don't know.
All right.
I have no idea.
I'm out of books.
Yeah. So I still have Storm 11. This is the last one before Secret Wars. Her arc has to deal with apparently a new Generation Hope character, Kenji, who has found his way back to the school and still has a bit of his evil ways, or so is the case. We find Storm teaming up with pretty much a lot of other people that have come back through the book, through the run of the book, to help her out with this. It is kind of one of those... I want to say spirit bomb, that's not entirely right, but hey, everybody, we can all do this together, let's hold hands and tell him how he's wrong type of deal, you know, and thus ends the book. So it ended on a pretty decent note. You know, hopefully we will see another Storm book after this, but who knows.
Is this the last issue before Secret Wars?
This is the last issue before Secret Wars. I mean, yeah, because it even says that he's got the little thing at the end of it.
Okay.
Let's see, Captain Marvel number 15. Carol's back on Earth. Her friend, she has a friend that had passed while she was off Earth.
Oh, I did read this one, actually.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And she just found out about this, so now we see this issue with her and her cast of characters dealing with the loss. And I like the way it was done, because, you know, that character had a contemporary nature to it, and it still shows even in this issue, and the way it's kind of laid out was nicely done.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember if there's anything else. There is some parallel between Carol's life and the life of a friend, which she's, you know, mourning, celebrating, whichever one you want to subscribe to it. And it ends in a pretty touching way if you've been enjoying the book so far.
Cool.
And what else we got? Howard Dirt number 3. That's about it. Dirt, you got anything?
Yeah, here, let me ask you a question real quick.
Sure, what's that?
How many zombies do you think appear in this issue of Walking Dead?
The way you put it, zero.
Yeah, I was about to say none.
Exactly. And that's the score I'm giving this book.
Oh, no!
It's such a chore to read through, because it is just platitudes on how to build a civilization. And it's just so boring and annoying, and
You've been hate reading this book for a minute now.
I know, and it's getting to the point where it's like, I want to say I'm never going to read it again, but I know it's not true. You know? I'm still holding out hope.
Oh, no.
But at this point, I'm going back and reading issues of the 28 Days Later series, because that was so much better than this.
Let me put it to you this way. If you were not a member of comic retailing, if you were not a reviewer, if you did not have access to review copies of things, would you have dropped The Walking Dead from your pull list?
Oh, long time ago.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it would be at the point now where if I didn't get these, you know, sent to me or have them at the store that I could just sit there and read them, then I would definitely be at the point where I would just go on New Comic Wednesday, look at Wikipedia, see if there's any updates of anything cool happening, and then otherwise just not even bother with it.
Right. Or you'd flip through it at the store just to see what was going on, and then have someone yell at you and be like, hey, it's not a library.
I'm just looking for zombies. Hold on a minute. Because this is the zombie book with no zombies in it. It's just started going. Let's see. Although I did read some things that were, you know, fun. I did enjoy here. Well, first of all, let me show you this. This is the variant cover for the new issue of Reanimator.
Wow.
You were talking earlier about having some variants with some throwback artwork on them. This one is
definitely, that's DC stuff, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that was pretty cool. New book, Harrow Country or County or Harrow County, whatever, from Dark Horse. If you're into horror comics, if you've ever read a book and just thought, oh, you can't do horror in a comic book, there's no way to make it work, this makes it work.
Nice.
This is actually a very creepy and disturbing book. It'll get under your skin if you're into that type of thing. So that's definitely one worth checking out. My daughter's favorite comic right now at the time is actually this Grimm's Island. This is from the guys that do Itty Bitty Hellboy and Superman Family Adventures and Tiny Titans and all of that.
Yeah, Balthazar and Franco, right?
Yeah, yeah. She absolutely loves this book and adores it, so I'm throwing a shout out there for my daughter.
Nice.
Deep State. This is the X-Files in reverse book, where you're actually part of the government conspiracy to cover everything up. And this has actually been a lot of fun. There's a guy who had a gun where he could fire a bullet, and the bullet would disappear, and it would reappear at a later point in time in order to take out his target. And so they've been following the trail of this secret, you know, government experimental weapon, and it's leading them towards the assassination of JFK. Which is kind of a fun little rabbit hole to run down. So that's Justin Jordan's doing a really good job on keeping this book interesting a lot further than the premise seemed like it would actually hold out for. Lantern City, issue one. I actually did an interview with these guys that you can read at popculturenetwork.com. Plug, plug.
Yay. And
this is actually a television series that's in the works. Nice. The guys producing the show finally signed with a visual effects company. Same people that did work on Battlestar Galactica and some of those genre shows are going to be working on this TV show. They also have a novel out. They're doing this comic series. Boom has actually agreed to do at least 12 issues, and then if it sells really well, they'll just keep it going indefinitely. And these are all stories that tie into the universe, but it's not. This is not supposed to adapt the TV show. This is other stuff happening at the same time within that universe, so this will intertwine with the show as it develops. So that's something that's it's actually fun to read and looking forward to see how this actually works on the big screen. But the hook of this particular story is that you have these guys who are basically the stormtroopers of the steampunk universe, who are these you know, evil, hurtful guards taking everybody down. And this guy actually is able to take one out and steal the outfit. He's going to try to pass himself off as one of these guards so he can find out what's actually going on in their civilization. He can get in access to the areas that people aren't supposed to get into. So it's interesting, and especially if you're into steampunk and that type of alternate history type of stuff, it's actually a lot of fun. And the last one here, RoboCop, still going, still incredibly violent, but they finally did the upgrades to RoboCop, so he's not the stiff robot anymore. He actually jumps out of a helicopter and lands on a guy, which was nice little scene for somebody to draw there. But it's working towards this big conclusion that's going to be happening. Issue 12, which I'm assuming is the end of the second trade paperback when it gets collected, they're actually at OCP headquarters going to the top floor to fight it out in front of the old man in the conference room, if you remember the original movie, where everybody gathers around. They're in that. They're heading towards that conference room to have this final showdown. They've done a good job continuing with the characters and keeping the feel of the original movie. And all that kind of stuff going. So definitely check that out if you were a fan of the original property. And that is going to do it for my quick rundown of this week.
There you go. Right.
So let's get the clicks of the week.
Clicks of the week. You know what? I'll lead off. My click of the week, I'm going to stick with my guns. Thor number 8, Jason Aaron.
I knew it.
It was good. I really enjoyed the issue. I liked how they really had a great lead up and a nice swerve, you know, in terms of revealing who the character, you know, what the secret identity, quote unquote, of the character really is.
Well,
so
I knew that's what you were going to pick, so I went ahead and made the image here with your clip of the week.
Much appreciated.
And I am going to go with Secret Wars, and I am going to go with this variant cover of the toy.
Wow! That's pretty awesome.
And you know what? I'm a co-sign that because Secret War was just that good this week. So wow. Secret War is also going to be my click of the week.
Wow. That's really, you know, it's like an all Marvel week. How rare is that, right?
Oh, man, I got to change my vote then.
All right. Who wants to take us home?
Sure, I'll take a stab at it. All right, bye, Rhett. No, I'm just kidding. I want to thank everybody for coming out. I can't wait to see the numbers on this this episode. We ran a little long, but that's okay. Tim's not in here to rein us in, and that is a good thing. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, we lost a viewer.
Lowest rated episode ever.
Oh! No! Right?
Probably. So, check out theclicknation.com for all future episodes of this. Also, check out everyone here at their Twitter and or websites. We have OneAgent70 at Agent70. We have Mr. PCN _ Dirt. And who's also can be found at popculturenetwork.com. I'm assuming y'all still have a shop going on, shoppcn.com. You want anything else going on about that? You got anything coming up you want to plug out?
Meh.
Okay. Well, fine. You can find me at you can find me at Roddy Cat and at News Nerds Need. Go check us out. And there's also the Reddit of News Nerds Need that sometimes gets some things posted to it. You can find us here every Thursday night every Thursday night most times at 9 o'clock p.m.
Ish.
Yes, 9-ish. Somewhere around that time.
That's right.
Also at CB Cron for the Twitter for the show.
Yeah, go use hashtag at you can use hashtag CB Cron or Comic Book Chronicles. We follow both.
There you go. And also, we want to give a last-minute shout-out to Mr. Matt Wang and Classic Material for checking us out tonight. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
For all you do. And with that, since I'm the one who has the finger on the button, I can just let this thing go on all night. So nothing y'all can do to stop me.
Ah, we're signing off!
Nah. So with that, this has been the Comic Book Chronicles, and we are gone.